Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Programming note.
Yes.
Programming note.
Yes.
Political Persuasions has been canceled. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course.
We just talked about that yesterday.
Have you gotten the email from your junior producer asking when the next episode was?
Well, no, I haven't.
Of course not.
Did you send me an email?
Of course. No.
Oh, wait, no, I'm not the junior producer. I'm your board op. The junior producer is Diego, and we gave him about a 12-minute pep talk yesterday about how if he wants to, as he has listed on his Facebook page, that he is the junior producer of Political Persuasions, he has to be very, very proactive with his host.
Yes.
And he was going to send a business-like email to you.
The bottom line is, you know, it hasn't been the most normal of months with this happening. So I mean, but I also, you know, watching a little bit of it last night, to be honest with you.
What, the political
I don't want to say that I've tired of it, but I may have tired of it. It's just
Pony,
so
stop building that website.
It's so boring to me. It's
boring,
so
like,
no,
what,
it's not
going to
always be. It's not. It's so boring. It's so boring. No, it's just I watched Ted Cruz interviewed on. Was it CBS? I don't know what they're all
CNN.
Every day.
It was two nights ago, and it was CNN.
No.
Wasn't
no,
it?
No.
CNN.
How dare they?
He was interviewed this morning on CBS.
Mike, thank you.
I think I proved my point.
It's like he does an interview every day.
BBC.
They all do. They all do interviews every day, and it's like, I really feel like I'm just blah, 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 going up. But you know what? I'll get my mojo back. I can't. The one thing that I have acknowledged during this time is that you go a little off the rails, even though you may appear to be okay, you have to be mindful of the fact that you're a little squirrely, and I'm probably a little squirrely.
You've got till November, Mike.
And don't forget then also the election recap show.
That's true.
Here you go. How about this? I commit that I will produce another Political Persuasion show prior to the November election.
Solid. That's all
people
ask for.
Thank you for the applause.
For.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
November.
It's good to see you again. It's good to see all of you again.
November 2016. Election. Just so we're specific.
Let's not get, you know, DGH, Rob. DGH.
Hey,
that's the way I look at it.
I haven't GH'd in a long time.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so let me get the elephant in the room out of the way here. As everybody knows that follows me on social media, I took a few days off and will be taking one more day off because my beloved mom, 95 years old, she passed away up in Boston, and I was going to Boston originally, as the boys on the show know, to house sit for my sister and really kind of stand by because her health had taken such a turn for the worse. The game plan was that I was going to go sit at Kathy's house, see my mom every day. And unfortunately, 95 years old, things took a turn for the worst, and she passed away on Friday, March 18th at 10:10 a.m. And I wanted to get through as best I can some little bullet points about that that I jotted down today because there's a lot of I don't know whether I'm going to say that in the body of the show or not, but I have to say thank you to just an incredible outreach of kindness based on our listeners. The new world of our social media, which I think we've all at one time or another railed against, has been comforting to me, and I have not even begun to get through the messages that were posted. If there's one thing that's great about social media now, you really can share something that you probably wouldn't have shared before. You can reach out to mm-hmm. people that you don't know. You can reach out to strangers. You can say things to people that do a radio show that you like. And it was a source of wonderful comfort to me. And a lot of people reached out, and I was grateful. because it's just really, really terrific. That
comforting. It really is comforting.
Yeah, I've been on the giving end of that many, many, many times. I haven't really spent a lot of time on the receiving end of it until the last month or so when I was posting things about my mom. So it was terrific.
You know, it's been 7 years since we did the show where we talked about Robert being cancer-free.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, in my Facebook message file, have saved messages from that day because they meant that much to me. And it is.
I don't think I'll be doing that, but that's
well, I mean, you're not really a saver, and yeah, you're not very good with you know.
I don't
want
to put anyone down, yeah, but it's but that won't be happening.
But it is, yeah, it is extraordinarily.
When you're blowing the spit bubbles, pal, you're not going to remember those little messages. But
really,
I mean, hey, look, that's just my opinion. I could be totally wrong about that. You know, maybe it is something that will bring you comfort.
It was just they meant a lot to me. So mm-hmm. with that said, I wish you a good...
But really, but thanks for playing the cancer card with your kid during my moment of mourning. I really appreciate that.
That's grief poaching.
Truly, I truly... Yeah, is that grief poaching?
Is
that,
it?
Is that what counts?
You couldn't just let him have a moment.
His cancer-free kid that I should point out. You know.
Well, Mike, you know, we're all cancer-free now, but there's always tomorrow.
There's always tomorrow.
You know, anyone can get cancer at any time.
Don't get happy.
Mike,
exactly. That's it.
Remember
that's
the time
it,
yes. my dad got diagnosed with cancer?
Mm-hmm.
Remember yep. that time?
We never stopped hearing about Rob's kid, did we? We never did. Rob, we're kidding. We're
no,
kidding.
I'm not. Thank
okay.
God you brought
no,
it up.
He's not.
I said, here we go with a kid
so
and cancer.
Much, you know what? I've had so much quality time with him over the past 3 or 4
right.
years. It's truly been wonderful.
Who had 2 minutes?
You know, but I will tell you this. I've been thinking
this is
a
the
lot.
Worst. You know what? I can't believe you get this much crap for agreeing with someone. I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Doesn't always work, Rob.
It doesn't.
Agreeing doesn't always work.
It's
by
a bad
the way,
thing.
Let me adjust this here. This is rather ghostly. Is that hold on,
what are you
doing? Better?
Yeah,
is that a little better? Is that light
it's
a little
the
better?
Same
it's exactly the same.
Thank
yes.
you, glad that I could fix it. So
I agree.
All right, let me get to the gist of this, because I have been giving a lot of thought about even 10 minutes ago before we went on the air about my support network. And I talk a lot about lack of friends. I talk about, you know, the loner and stuff like that. I feel over the last few days, I got it covered. I have felt an outpouring of love and support, and it feels good. And I'll tell you, it's enough. It works for me. And, you know, between the guys that I work with, my family members, friends of mine that have reached out to me, it's been really, really a wonderful experience. I feel in that department I've got it covered. The that's the truth of it. That's the way I feel. And I wanted to share regarding my mom that you know, this is, I'm not trying to make this more than it is. I'm stating some irrefutable facts for people that were around her. And up until the very last, when she wasn't able to communicate, I've never, ever seen an example of someone who did not make it about herself. I don't know how she did it. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how my mom was able to do that. Now, she would make it about herself when she was uncomfortable, and she would talk about plans and arrangements, but ultimately, there was a parade of nurses, social workers, hospice workers. It was nonstop. I've never seen the like of it. My sister's lived with this up in the Boston area, and she knows what I didn't know because I spent so much time there in the last few days. It was every day. Comments like, I have to say, most of the residents here, we give them care. Your mother gave us care. There's a quote from one of the workers there. She, right up until the very end, at 95, you know, she, you know, based on her appearances on the show, she had a wonderful mind almost to the very end. And she just was always about, you know, saying, thank you for doing this. I'm sorry for putting you through this. She'd say that to a nurse. She would say that to a nurse. It was truly amazing. There's several things that I got out of this process of being with my mom at the very end that have changed me, have changed my life. You're going to laugh because you're going to say, no, you'll never be able to be like that. But I'll tell you, I did it yesterday. I did it the day before, and I'm reaping the rewards of it. And that is just, I can still bitch if things go wrong. I will be the best at it. I will be, but I also watched a capacity for empathy, which not only benefited her, but benefited the people around her and made everybody ultimately feel better. And so it was one after the other that would come up to me, nurses, doctors, hospice workers, and it was truly something to behold. And I, and it, you know, at the first couple of times somebody said that to me, you kind of nod and go, yeah, that's nice that one person. Then the nurse who, Deborah, who came up on her lunch hour from another floor every morning and every afternoon. Now you say, well, you know, you're in the facility. No, that doesn't happen. That's not the norm. That's somebody that actually was so close to my mom that she actually dropped by for a visit. And more people said that. People, you know, that I didn't know, like my sister knew, but it was really amazing to me that that she thought about everyone except herself and, you know, the family, us, the staff at Carlton Willard. I will mention them by name now because they deserve to be mentioned, because let me tell you something. My sister did a great job picking the facility. I pray for all of our listeners, all of you that might have elderly parents, that they go to a facility and they have the means to go to a facility where I wish everybody did, where they have the kind of care that my mom got at the end. It's stunning. I think of hospitals, and my mom didn't want to go to the hospital at the end because hospitals are a different environment. There's just so much going on there. I think there's not the, you know, there's not really the kind of attention, the type of it, the style of attention that you're going to get. So, you know, they made her very comfortable. She was in a nursing facility. She was medicated at the end, and that was it. She wasn't on any. There were nothing was poked or prodded. She was not sitting there attached to any machines. It was just a slow, not that slow, but it was something at the very end. I was stunned that these people that do this can maintain that kind of compassion and care for somebody. It was an incredibly positive experience based on observing my mom and observing the people that worked with her. That was the first thing I wanted to say. The second thing I wanted to say about my mom is that, you know, you hear the cliches. And even though I lost my father years ago, I was closer to this passing than I was to his. I was not there for his death. But you hear things like at peace and all that. She was at peace with this. She was at peace with this. Probably, I think she derived a lot of peace from her faith. And that's something that really a lot of people have a church or whatever. They have faith, and that helps them. It helped her because that was a big part of her life. And the thing that was also memorable to me was never a hint of any fear. Not one single moment was that emotion present. And she was able to communicate probably when I arrived on Wednesday, and she was able to communicate with me that day, not quite as well on Thursday, and then no communication on Friday whatsoever. But through all of that, even when it was nonverbal, no fear, no fear. So, I mean, that's unusual to me. It was truly something that, you know, she's been through it the last couple of months, but she didn't have a trace of fear. And I was, I just was so impressed with that, to be around that. You know, my niece, who I'll talk about in a second here, mentioned that it's truly a blessing when you can be there with somebody you love so much and hold their hand as they pass away. But it is both a blessing and you feel like it's a gift, but it's also a little haunting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll play that video back whenever I have the quiet moment, and it's tough. It's tough to deal with. I'll deal with it. That's we all have to. That's it. But that's what she said, and that was what the experience was like. This is the tough. I was stunned with how beautiful she looked even at the end. I mean, when you got to realize my mom's issues were digestive and stomach-wise, so she basically couldn't take a lot of nourishment, so she just got smaller and smaller and smaller, but she still looked beautiful at the end. She looked absolutely beautiful, which, you know, with the condition that her body was in, that's saying something, and that's something that that I remember. You know, I'm probably, you know, we've been going through old photographs, and I don't want to sound like Donald Trump, but my mom was quite a looker in the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go back. I compare my mom to Donna Reed. She had that kind of Donna Reed, but she was prettier than Donna Reed.
Yeah.
And if you know It's a Wonderful Life, think of that as my mom as a young woman. My mom was married to a naval aviator before she married my dad, who was killed after World War II. And we dug up a wedding picture of her at the United States Naval Academy. And I was like, you know, wow. It was really, you know, it was really something. My sister and I have been going through things over the last few days, and letters that I wrote to my mom, you know, just on my end, you know, I don't remember stuff, as you guys both know. I didn't remember some of the letters that I've written to my mom over the years, like when my grandmother passed, and for some reason, some BS radio reason, I didn't make it to my grandmother's funeral. I'm gonna have to say something at my mom's funeral in a week, because the fact is I've missed a lot of funerals, and I think subconsciously I don't like going to them. I think that's got to be the reason. There's got to be something more than me just being, well, my career is taking me away from this. But I wrote a letter after the fact to my mom, and so I'm pretty clear with how I expressed myself to my mom before the end. That's a good thing to do.
Good.
If you have a parent that you value, make sure you do it, because you never know. That's a good thing. Let me see. So she was just beautiful at the end. I wanted to also say that my sister and her family, her husband Paul, who I've referenced on the show, her daughter and son, their spouses, their children. This is the Boston connection up where my mom lived. And they made her last years so very special. Holidays, making the effort, bringing their kids. So she had grandchildren, she had great-grandchildren, and they made the effort for people like me who were not close. I made the effort whenever I was there, and I tried to get, you know, she knew my son, she knew my wife Carla, she had a good relationship with my daughters, and she, you know, so... Everybody made her last years. We were involved in her life, so that's a good thing too. There are a lot of positives out of this. It's
sure.
I'm a great person for finding negatives in the world. That's what I do for a living. But it's hard on this one. Now on to my niece Jessica. On the very last day, my niece Jessica had reached out to me via text, and she had said, "I'd like to go out. Is it okay?" At this point, I was communicating with my sister, and we had said that she's kind of wigging out if people come that aren't just the you know, my sister and myself. But I thought it would be okay because Jessica had a relationship. Little did I know how much that would mean to me and how much and the bond that we have. Jessica, a young lady who showed more poise and strength. I will never forget. You want to talk about a bond with someone. You know, she was holding one hand. I was holding the other. I mentioned that in my post on social media. The rest I'm going to keep private. That's between Jessica and myself. But she was there for me. You don't know. You get all kind of wigged out, and you're saying what you think you should said. So I didn't know when I said, yeah, it's fine with me. Come out and do it. I had no earthly idea that she would be so much of a strength for me that last day. But, you know, because you don't think in terms of this is probably not something you want to deal with alone. And
right.
So my niece, Jessica, you know, forever, you know, it's just amazing that she was there for me and spent the whole day with me. And we were just back and forth. We're very similar in a lot of ways. So it was great to have her there and just my admiration for her. I don't know if I could have done it with a grandparent the way she did it with me. And so, you know, I just those are the points that I, you know, I wanted to make about my mom and the last day. This is. You're probably getting from me that this was a pretty good way for someone to end their life, if there can be a good way. Outside of going to sleep and not waking up, I think this you know, this is what it would be for someone doing it the right way. The last words, I wrote them down: dignity, class, thoughtfulness, bravery, beauty, and grace. That's what I witnessed. And I mean, how many people get a chance to do that? And so, you know, it was emotional, but at the same time, as I'm talking right now, I'm realizing what an inspiration she was to me. She truly was an inspiration to me. She was my role model. you know, the words, those are the words of the describer. The words that I can say on my end, admiration, love, incredible sadness. But pride and another word that I would use would be awe. You know, she managed to be my role model. I haven't lived up to it throughout the years. There are a lot of things I'd like to do that she did. But she was inspirational to me throughout the years, and she was right at the end of her life. Let me tell you something. If you can manage to handle it the way she handled it, it's just, it's something to behold. It truly is. So that's it. Mary Elizabeth O'Mara, wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, widow twice, 40-year hospital volunteer. She touched everyone she met. She always took time to be kind to people, and she knew who she was right until the very end. So that's it. I don't have anything more on it. I'll be referencing her for the rest of my life. But, you know, safe home, Mary Elizabeth O'Mara. Now we can start the show, Rob.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Having a little work done in the old place, huh, Jeff? Fraud is a felony.
What are you looking at? You're laborers. You're supposed to be laboring. That's what you get for not having an education. Get out of here!
What's all this supposed to be?
This? This is ice. This is what happens to water when it gets too cold. This? This is Kent. This is what happens to people when they get too sexually frustrated.
This should keep you busy for a while. This plus your regular class load should turn your brains to tapioca in less than a month.
Oh, Kent, that is so unfair. And we were going to make you king of the winter carnival.
Yeah? We're all just a bunch of degenerates.
We are. What about that time I found you naked with that bowl of Jell-O?
You did not.
This is true.
I was hot and I was hungry, okay?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Coming to you live from the Cappy Fiverr Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. Our show today brought to you by Betterment. How should you manage your money? Let me tell you about Betterment. Their mission is to help people manage and grow their wealth. Betterment has developed a smarter technology that automates investing, helps with better financial decisions, invests for your personal goals, and provides peace of mind. With Betterment, you get investing advice through smart technology from real people to help with account support. Betterment will help secure your financial future and make sure that you and your family are set up for success. I was reading an article on Texture in Esquire just this month about planning for your future and how few of us really do it and how many people actually set aside the funds to do it. It's very, very important, and the vast majority of people, even over the age of 65, have not. So it's a good idea for you to check it out. If you haven't thought about investing, if you thought about getting involved in the market, if you thought about building a nest egg for when you retire, Betterment is the largest independent automated investment service, managing over $3.8 billion for people just like you. It's the streamlined approach to investing. It's automated. It's less expensive. It's easy to use. The future is here. You can get up to 6 months of automated investing free and more information when you go to betterment.com/TMOS. Again, that's BETTERMENT.com/TMOS. Betterment, investing made better. Welcome to the show. Whoa, whoa. On a lighter note, I said my thank yous to everybody, but I will give you, I'm relaying this from a phone call to another family member, so I might not get it exactly right, but it's definitely been in my mind since it was said, and it made us laugh, but it also made me think.
Yeah.
My mom is the last. She's the last one. She's the last parent. She's the last aunt. She's the last one to go in this situation.
From that generation, right?
From that generation, my cousin John, I think he spoke to my sister Kathy, and it goes something like this. Well, that's it. We're all in the on-deck circle now.
Oh, no.
That is so true.
You know, once you get done laughing, you go, geez, he's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, thanks to everybody who reached out. It was really, really something else to get that for the guys on the show. You know, you just I know you think it might be trite, but no, it's appreciated when you, you know, thank God we've got this world right now that that we live in where we can support each other and we're just a small group and we can handle it like that. And everybody chugged ahead and the technology allowed me to do that as well. So, yeah, it was all things considered not a bad situation until I got home from Florida and then my kid had to go to the ER.
Mm.
That was
when it rains, it pours, man. It does.
You know, at one point, you know, a very brief time, he's out of the ER. Everything's fine. Got that taken care of. But there was a time, you know, if you had said to me, where is the last place you want to go after you dealt with what you were dealing with? I'm like, I think maybe a ridiculously, insanely crowded ER with a lot of old people, some of whom are waiting to die.
Yeah.
That is something that was not exactly the best environment.
That's definitely a top three finisher. I think it's in the money up there, yeah.
You know, it was crazy. It was truly crazy, but he's fine. He had a little issue with his hip that came out of a viral infection that he had before. It happens in kids that age, and they had him in, and they sent him home. Then another doctor came in and looked at his x-ray and said, bring him back in. That was the nervous part yesterday
morning. Oh, God,
Oscar heard my conversation, you know, and it's like, Oscar, I know I was coming in on Wednesday. I'm not sure. That was the worst. And then over almost as quickly as it began. And
but if you're
thank
gonna
an
have
ER
trouble,
worker when you get a chance.
If you're going to have hip trouble, have it in Florida because people are breaking them all the time.
Down there.
Yeah, they know how to fix a hip.
By the way, my left one now is, you know, I'll be having two of these someday.
At
some point, I'm sure of it. It's because the other one's worse than the right one now. But, I mean, I'm gonna get
now. When they do that, is it titanium or do they go to the cadaver thing? I can't remember.
Titanium,
okay.
Metal.
All right.
It's nasty when you look at it. When you see the way they do it, they take a big giant rod and go right into your like femur. They drill down. Yeah, but then
drill baby.
But then when it's done, I mean, this I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But when it's done, you know, apparently it's like Steve Austin. There we go. Yeah. So it was it's been an interesting
week. So he's okay today?
Interesting week. Huh?
He's doing better today?
Little Michael.
He's at school today.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good sign.
He pitched a fit because I put a Curious George movie on and then I had the door shut because I was doing the show prep and I heard the Damien sounds coming from the other room when he was getting ready to go to school. Yeah. And he wants to say goodbye, and he can't. Yeah. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Have a nice day. Lay it on the teachers at school.
Is he a big fan of the man in the yellow hat?
You know, I'm not. I do not even like to be in the room when that rat is on.
Because
it's
a Will
George.
Ferrell thing, isn't it?
Yeah, is it? Is it a Will Ferrell
thing?
Doesn't
Will Ferrell do the voice of the man in the yellow hat?
Oh, now it's even worse.
Not the originals.
No, I think
are you watching
the
originals or the movie?
What originals?
I put a DVD in.
You never saw the cartoons in your kids?
No.
I thought it was just a book.
Yeah, it's a book.
No, they animated the book.
What's that?
It's some sort of monkey book.
Yeah, right. But, so he's fine. Everything's right with the world. And, I don't like Curious George. I like Little Einsteins for all of you parents out there that might want to be enjoying some cartoons with your kids. I kind of enjoy Caillou.
I kind of like Caillou. He is the worst kid in the world with bad parents. And I'm pretty sure his sister, Rosie, I think she might be special needs.
Well, I don't watch Caillou as closely as you do, obviously.
Well, there was a lot of Caillou in my house.
I don't care for Jake and the Neverland Pirates. I think it's too hyper-violent, and it's always some horrible sea monster or crap like that. You know, don't care for that. Oh, the last little indignity at the ER was the elderly volunteer, which my mom was for 40 years in the children's hospital. And I came in because I had to get this air conditioning thing set here at the house. I'll tell you about that later. And I walk in and the volunteer says, can I help you? I said, yeah, my kid's in this room number and I'm his father. I want to go back and see him. And when she went back, apparently she walked into the room and Carla was there with my 2-year-old son.
Yeah.
And she said to Carla, his father is here? With like 15 question marks afterwards, you know, it indicated my... So when he got sprung, the same lady was at the front door. I said, yep, leaving now. His father, that's my son. Yeah, she's like, I didn't mean. Yeah, that's okay. Everybody does it. We get it at the grocery store all the time. Have a nice day.
Bye-bye, I love lady.
When Thank someone's you. In hey, that lady. Situation and their voice gets much higher. Yeah. And so she right. walks through the crowd and says, the boy's father is here?
The man outside, outside the security doors at the ER said that he was in this room.
There's an elderly man outside that says Who is, he's a father.
He's claiming to be the father? Is he... I think he's just a strange man that we're going to leave outside.
I'm pretty sure there's been a misunderstanding.
There's a retired detective outside.
All right, well, let's take a break, and we'll come back with more fun and more thrills. I just have I want to get some thoughts off my chest.
Okay.
About this airport subway crap. Okay.
All right.
I don't think it's an accident that attacks are happening in these places. And I'll tell you that I think we can fix it.
All right.
I don't want to be like Donald Trump, but I will tell you I got some thoughts on it. We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Walk around this town with your
head on up in my... It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Chuck Norris.
And on this week's episode of the show, Gary thinks he's Chuck Norris. He actually gets involved in an altercation with a citizen. He pretends to be a cop. His wife is crying. Crazy.
Is that a promo or is that the show?
That's kind of the show. Also, a listener assisted. What were they thinking? Check it all out. TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the brand new Tony Perkins Show app.
Buy a t-shirt.
You're not a cop.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Thank you, Tony. Add Tony to the list. He reached out. I appreciate the voicemail. That was
very
nice. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Vistaprint. If you are a small business owner, using Vistaprint is like having a best friend that's always there for you to help you excel. So many of our listeners have gotten into Vistaprint and gotten that great deal, the best deal in the business, bar none. Here's your Vistaprint deal, 500 business cards for just $9.99 when you enter promo code TMOS at checkout. That's 500 cards for under $10. Vistaprint cards make it easy and affordable to make a dazzling first impression, and that means your clients will remember you. And isn't that the purpose of a business card?
Isn't that great?
Really? Isn't that great? Totally customizable front and back. You can upgrade the card stock, add a fancy finish, even raise print. Use a Vista plate template. That means it's the stuff they have on their website where you can do it if you don't want to do anything yourself. You know, I'm not saying you're lazy. I'm saying that they can do all the work for you, and I am lazy, and that's what I did.
And it looks great. The plates are amazing.
Just remember to use the code TMOS at Vistaprint.com, and you'll get 500 business cards for $9.99. That's a 50% savings. Vistaprint.com, create your custom card and use promo code TMOS at checkout, and we thank you. Yeah, so, you know, between the political crap that's all over... And between the Western primaries, and I was so away from all that for a couple of days, and then to come back, I didn't even know until late in the day about the attack in Belgium. This to me, and this is not me pontificating here. I'm just having a discussion. Correct me if I'm wrong. We have had attacks at airports before.
Yes.
Multiple attacks at airports. Correct me if I'm wrong. We have had attacks at subways, and you're dealing with two situations where, and having flown as much as I flew the last few days, I will tell you we have had these situations where people coagulate. And to me, the success of this is going to be expensive. If you're going to succeed in making people safer at airports, on subways, it's going to cost money. Mm-hmm. It's going to be manpower. And it's going to be bodies and equipment. That's the only way you can do it. You're not going to be able to prevent bombs from coming into places where people gather without manpower and equipment. That's a fact. That's an irrefutable fact. You can't do it on the cheap. And I think, based on my observation, I'm just using the American model here because that's what I see. We are talking about the inability to spend the dollars on this. This is a fact of life. There are a lot of things we spend money on in this country. We spend it on our military. We spend it on aircraft carriers, on the military. I think you have to allocate resources in order to spread out people that are going to be in a coagulated area. I'm going to give you an example. Both coming and going up to Boston and coming back at 5 o'clock in the morning one day. I came through the airport, got my got my boarding pass, and then came around the corner. You guys have both been in the Southwest Florida Regional Airport. You know, it's a tiny little airport, usually pretty manageable, not during this season. And I turned the corner, and there were 250 people waiting for one security line. Okay? That is, if you said to me, what can I do to kill as many people as is humanly possible? Well, let's have them in that little Disney-created back-and-forth King's Dominion line where they're all sitting there sardined. It's a perfect target. It's perfect. And I think, look, I'm not a genius. I don't know about the answers to these things, but it just seems to me if you're concentrating people prior to them getting this screening done, for whether it's and you're not going to admit, you're not going to catch everything. That's a reality as well.
Yeah, I don't think there's an actual solution to disperse the amount of people that coagulate. I think that the solution would have to be with intelligence all around. I think
I agree with that. I agree that that's that you have to continue to do that.
Yes,
but I'm saying, Oscar, that
it's too pronged.
I think it's impossible. So, for example, if we streamline airport security, you still have to get to the place where you have the online. The baggage check on the curbside, right?
Right.
So people are still massed there. There's always going to be groups of people.
There's massing and then there's massing. And what I'm talking about, I'll give you an example. This is the other example I wanted to give you. I'm at Logan. The snowstorm was coming in. I switched my flight from crack of dawn on Monday morning to Sunday night because I wanted to get out. And I had stuff to record for the show the next day. And I just wanted to get back and see my family is what I wanted to do. And so they have what's called bag drop at Logan, at JetBlue. They've got bag drop. It's another 500 people standing in line for three JetBlue employees. Now, what they have there is they have 25 little bays there. I'm just saying nothing's going to be fail-safe. I'm saying a better job has to be done processing people. And I'm not necessarily saying streamline it, Oscar, because you have to be vigilant. And you have to make sure that crap's not getting through. But I'm saying this may be a radical departure from the way we travel. I'm saying you have to spread it out. Let me throw my idea out at you, okay? This is how you spread it out. When you get to an airport, you know, everybody says, where are you flying? Oh, I'm flying JetBlue. What time's your flight? I got the 6 a.m. flight. Oh, that's the Airbus A320. Oh, that's the one that 200 people are on. So let's all go here right now because we all have to go to it's just like we vacation in the United States. We all take Labor Day weekend off. We all have to be in the airport at the same time. We all travel. We got to start thinking more intelligently about how we disperse people. You can do it without necessarily having to rush things or streamline. You just have to. You know what's done? You register for classes.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often, you will go into an arena and you will say, "How's it work?" Well, A through F. Is over here. B.
G and through I'm thinking M, that
I'm thinking you just spread people out a little bit, so you don't. You're never going to have anything fail safe. But when I see people like at bag drop for JetBlue. That are just standing there, and more money has to be invested. Because if I see a bay, Dulles Airport is another example. Dulles Airport, the new security system has, would you say, what, 20, 25 of the little lines where you put your bag on the conveyor belt and you do that. They have four entry points to that. So what do you get? You get the people stacked up.
And I'm also saying, people that are followers that they don't know to use all of them. It seems like it was not.
But it's coagulating people. I'm just saying I don't have the exact solution.
What if?
It's mass transit, though. Out. That's what it is.
And it is mass transit. You're absolutely right.
If they gave,
and I don't have the solution for the subway thing.
Yeah, if they gave people more manpower, yes, that would disperse the concentration of people that are at the one security checkpoint, right?
Sure.
So then, that would give you that answer. But look, we've got 55 listeners from what we can tell in Brussels from our software here, right? And if I look, my heart aches for those people because I can't imagine not wanting to get on the metro here ever again ever travel to go to the airport ever again because I wouldn't ever feel safe.
Well, here's another thing, and this is a simpler solution when we think about it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Metro, trains, when 9/11 happened, and we were taking the train a lot.
Yeah.
There were no – what'd they do it for a week? They do it for 3 days. What did they? Oh. They had metal detectors. They had screening like you would get on an airplane. And they had, what is wrong
and
with screening
were,
everybody that goes into a train station or a subway station?
And there
That's
were
not
unguarded
undoable.
Doors. There were
That's
unguarded doors at Union Station that you could use. How yeah. about what if, you know, they do a thing like this, you know, when they manage crowds and they only let a certain number of people through at a time. What if there was some sort of pre-security, even if it's something as simple as
Online.
A metal detector?
Well, they have, you knew you had a 15-minute window and you had a, let's say you're, okay.
Oh,
what
I
do
like
we do
this,
a lot?
Like
we
a have, pre-register, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to take this into the next break. Let me
All
wrap
right,
this up.
That's fine.
Because it's too, but here's the thing. When you go to jury duty, right, you get assigned a lottery number and you get,
right.
There are a lot of things where you're communicated with in advance of going to something you have to be at, and you can get that notice. And Oscar, what if it was a 3-hour window? And the luck of the draw, you'd say, you know, yeah, where are you flying? I'm flying to San Francisco, and I got the Z group. Oh, you got the Z group. You right. got to be at the airport 3 hours early.
You've
you
got
know?
A guy sitting here that gets pulled to the side every time he goes through security.
Right.
So as far as security is concerned, they're pretty vigilant with guys that look ambiguous, right?
No, we got a good track record
but,
in the United States
I'm
because
rolling,
they're singling out people that look like you.
But if I'm rolling a car in like these terrorists did,
right.
and
right.
I have bags, I don't get carded or stopped until I go through security.
Exactly.
So unless the security catches you as you're entering the airport, which creates another issue.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm talking about, spreading people out. Utilization of resources.
You know what
and modifying the whole ball game.
I've applied for the clear pass that allows you to get through security quicker.
I was thinking about doing
that,
but...
my brother goes through this all the time. He's got the same tone skin I have. He never gets stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I got to get the clear pass.
Well, either
or
that
TSA
or
pre.
Start
I gotta
dressing
get
better. Something.
I dress like this.
and to be fair, Mike, 2 out of 3 times he gets pulled aside, it's because they want his autograph.
Well, yeah, and usually, you know, and now I know
Celebrity
I'm back
justice.
On the show because here I am simply talking about making the world better, and Oscar's making it all about him.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well,
I'm
giving you solutions.
Oscar, he played the Latino card, Mike. Mm. What a jerk.
They don't pull me over for being Latino. They
yeah,
think
they don't
I'm
pull
Middle Eastern.
Yes. Well, Oscar was an actor.
You're from Australia?
Different role.
No. I speak Spanish.
There you go.
What, Mohammed? Yeah, no.
Look,
my name is Oscar.
Look who's sitting in the studio. Another Greek fisherman.
Hello, Oscar. I've got a solution. Separate planes for people of your skin tone.
Sure.
Thank you, Donald. All right. Wonderful. We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Meara Show. A new booze and a new food product that I'll be talking about when we come back. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. This is something that I probably have to get back to doing with everything going on. I didn't do it, but I'm talking about headspace.
Yeah.
You know, most of our problems start in our mind, whether it's fear, anger, stress, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness. By the way, if anybody was wondering, been sleeping like a babe. Been sleeping like an absolute bambino.
Attaboy.
It doesn't have to be that way. You can make a major difference in just 10 minutes a day. Guided meditation is what I'm talking about with the new Headspace app. Thank you for getting back to me, the people that have tried this, and telling me it's working, because it does work. All you have to do is try it one time, and you'll know that it works for you. Headspace is meditation made simple. Guided meditations that you listen to. Somebody walks you through it whenever you want, wherever you want. They tell you where to go, how to set it up. It's really, really easy. Everybody knows meditation has been around for a very long time and helps so many people. Join over 5 million users who are already getting some Headspace for free right now. And help yourself if you got all those anxieties and those stresses in your life. This is something that really could help your mind, and that's a great way to start. Download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/TMOS. The Headspace Take 10 program is a 100% free way to experience the benefits of meditation in your busy modern life. Train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. Start your free trial today at headspace.com/TMOS. That's headspace.com/TMOS. Get some Headspace today. Well, boys, it wouldn't be a story about Mike O'Meara going through something if that demon alcohol didn't raise its ugly head.
Mr. Booze, Mr. Booze.
Hey, Mr. Alcohol. Alcohol.
So after was it Saturday night? My mom passed on Friday.
Right.
My sister made it back. It was a very sad thing to, you know, see her get back for that. And, you know, it was I got a chance. I don't want to go into super details, but my sister was actually walking into the funeral home when my pastor from my church called, and I did the incredible blow off of a man of God, which is like
the gentleman that we met for the conference
Black Thanks, Desert? James. Appreciate it. Gotta go. Sorry, bad
Flanders.
Timing. You know, I didn't say bad. I almost said
Flanders.
Bad timing. Yeah, buenos ding dong diddly dia, senor. Flanders.
We're just checking in on you, Flanders.
But it was, you know, it was very, not only I got done dealing with it, and then I had time, you know, I had time to kind of process, begin the processing, and then my sister had to go through the whole thing, and I had to help her through that. And
right.
Then by Saturday, you know, lots of stuff, lots of arrangements have to be made. My mom pretty much arranged everything herself. God bless her. She did a great job with that. But by the very end of the day, it was Kathy and Paul and yours truly heading out to dinner. Really, really nice dinner at this place in Boston. And so would you like
to
know?
Is it the market? I've heard of it.
No.
Boston Market. Chicken and
chicken.
Choice of sides.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
We had the turkey, Rob. We had the turkey breast.
Also good.
It was lovely. and so I'll give you the litany of alcoholic beverages.
All right.
That resulted in me not feeling too perky on Sunday. It starts out when you know how you go on different trips for different reasons, and if there's going to be any drinking involved, you get into a mode where you want something.
Yeah.
My thing was your kind of drinks, Rob. I was in the mood for your spiced, like super mixed foo-foo type drinks, and for some reason I was into that.
Some sort of
this
classic
week.
Cocktail. I'm not sure that you would call an old-fashioned a foo-foo drink, but yeah. It's
well, they're
of a
foo-foo drinks because they've got a lot of sweet and sugar, and
but if you
don't
go
taste
to like
the
a
booze.
If you go to a Manhattan, you definitely taste the booze. It's like a brown
you taste
martini.
The booze. Well, I like that too.
Okay.
I'll just tell you what I had, and I'll give you an example of the foo-foo drinks I had. When was it? I'm trying to think my drinking when it was... I don't know. I drank two nights when I was up there. Two out of the four.
All right. Batting
pretty
500.
Good for me. 50%. One of the things I had was called...
Cooperstown is on the line.
One of the things I had Wednesday night was a... It was called, I think, a Pismo Winter Solstice.
Ooh. Boy, Pismo
now,
clams.
Is Pismo a soft... It's a soft drink, right?
It would be... It would be Pismo.
It's a soft drink.
No,
it's
Pismo.
A soft drink.
I don't think it's Pismo. I think what you think of is called Pismo. Isn't
Pismo,
it?
Whatever. It was foo foo.
Like a
Pismo. It had a lot of flavors.
It's a great drink. Yeah.
It had I had something like that. Okay.
A fruity
but it tasted drink. It tasted really good. I had to, but didn't drink a lot on Wednesday night. We had a lot of crap to deal with.
Right.
Saturday, everything was in. I'll tell you what I had. So I had two at dinner. Moscow Mules before dinner.
Oh, it's a good drink.
Shannon.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shannon. Shannon Zabalios.
She won't take my name though.
Really? Yeah. She's going to be Shannon Katie Zabalios.
I said, look, it really doesn't matter because the prenup doesn't state anything about that.
Shannon
you know
Santana
what?
Is a yeah, great
where,
name.
Where's
though.
That? Where's that in control Latin thing? That woman takes your name.
As
damn
long
it.
As she signs the papers, Mike, we're good
okay.
to go.
Yeah, that's good. All right, yeah. Very good.
I think it shows a lack of respect, but I'm sure it's fine.
No.
It's fine. No problem. At all.
I said, well, she said that in passing, and then when she got the prenup this past weekend, and
really
she's reviewing
already.
It.
Are you put it, file it. We need content. I want that for tomorrow.
All right.
Tomorrow, may we have a moment to chat
sure.
about that tomorrow?
Don't waste
I would
any
like
time,
to,
Mike. You know how it is.
Wow. That is incredibly early. Okay, so.
So a Moscow Mule, that's a vodka and ginger beer and lime, and usually served. Did they serve it in the copper mug?
No, they didn't. No, they made a point of saying that, you know, for all the chicks, I guess. It's not coming in the copper mug.
Well,
I said,
I'm sure it was fine.
Know, that's I said. That's okay, Jim. No problem at all. And so
that
was
Jim the bartender,
the waiter's name. So I had two of those. Then my brother-in-law Paul orders up one of them bottles he likes to order. You know where he knows his stuff, and he orders some. I don't know where it was. Some Italian wine that was just killer.
Oh, he's so good.
I can't tell you exactly how many of those I had, but how many glasses, but I had a few, and the dinner was just really spectacular, you know, fantastic. And so
what did you
I
have?
Had that.
What did you enjoy for dinner?
Why do you always have to make it about food? I'm talking about booze. I had a steak. I had a steak.
Good.
I had a steak and a couple of onion rings.
Good. Oh, it's a good meal.
I ate my emotions.
That's
okay?
Fine. That's fine.
I gained
splurge.
About 5 pounds.
Yeah. And the amazing thing is the steak was served in a copper mug.
So I'm not sure whether the three of us had one or two bottles, but I think it was two bottles of wine. So you've got the two drinks, and no, we did not have three bottles of wine.
Okay.
I guarantee you that.
All right.
We probably had two.
Four.
So whatever that, divvy that up. My sister's, you know, not the heavy drinker. She kind of just was tired, and Paul and I were doing it from the table. At the end of the meal.
Yes.
Paul gets a weird little look in his eye, and he says, I'm going to have a whistle pig.
Whoa.
Oh, I know of
now,
that.
There are people in the TMOS Elite Whiskey Society that know exactly what I'm talking about. This is a very, very expensive rye whiskey.
Mm.
And that is the moment when I said, that sounds good. That's where this sound should have played for everybody to hear.
Here's what I know about those drinks, Mike.
I'll look that up.
When you have an after-dinner whistle pig, which, by the way, is not a category. If you have an after-dinner whistle pig, that only happens if it's preceded by drinking during dinner. That is not a sober decision. That is something that's... You know, I bet he said it something like this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have an after-dinner whistle pig.
Well, no, you know what? He was well within... He had his wits about him at this time. This was kind of like not having dessert. This was having... You know how you have an after-dinner drink?
An aperitif.
Sometimes instead of having an aperitif.
Or, I'm sorry, a digestif. An aperitif is before
right,
dinner.
Right, right. So, I mean, it was fine.
Digestion.
Well, then, fine.
The whiskey's called whistle pig.
Yes.
Rye whiskey.
Got it.
For example, yesterday I gave my sister the update on my son and how he was doing. They'd sprung him from the ER. And I said, very good news. Now it's home for another bottle of whistle pig. Ha ha. And she goes, awesome. So glad. Lay off the pig. So that's what my sister Kathy said to me. So the whistle pig comes out. And man, I will tell you, even after having the wine and having my drink, when I took the first sip of the pig, of the whistle pig, this was the reaction. Normally whiskey is kind of like, oh, that's nice, smooth. Mine was it was
you did a Chef Howard.
Oh my god,
how did they serve it? They serve it neat or over ice?
They said they it was one of these fancy steakhouses, so it was with that big giant glob ice cube.
Ooh, nice.
They poured it over that.
Very nice.
And so that begat the trip to the second bar.
Oh,
Barbie!
The second location.
Oh,
where I had another one.
This is where the trouble happens, Mike.
Wow.
Don't you know this by now?
And I would have had two at the next bar, but unfortunately, the lovely lesbian behind the bar, and I identify her sexually simply because she was being very, 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 very forward with her, I guess, partner.
Okay.
You know, if two people are kissing affectionately,
nice.
You assume, and they're of the same sex, I'm going
Free
to assume
show.
That they were lesbians.
That's
so
right, Pony.
She, because she was engaged with the other person's or person at the bar, she kind of ignored me, and so it was off. We're off. Enough of that. Let's just get the check home. That would have been it.
Right.
That would have been fine. However, there is a bar right next to my sister's house, and then that was me. And I didn't ask. I didn't suggest. I was walking in front of them. I took a sharp right-hand turn, opened the door, and looked at them and went. and just stared at them. And
a gesture,
Let them come in. And that's where the real trouble happened.
Oh, no.
Bar C.
Now, Oscar, you won't know this, and I don't know if I'm talking about it in an educated way. There is some sort of liquor law in Boston. And I don't know
blue
if I'm
laws.
Articulating this right. This may be a blue law, but it's a liquor law that states they can serve alcohol, they can serve beer and wine, and they can serve hard liquor, but the hard liquor has to have a watered down component, a sugar component. So I guess my point is they will sell the flavored vodkas of some kind. It has to be diluted in some way.
Is this
and
all the time or after a certain hour?
It's maybe all the time, but all I know is they had only one rye whiskey on their menu, and when the rye whiskey arrived, it really wasn't a rye whiskey per se. It was more like a sugar-based, flavored aperitif kind. But that didn't stop me.
Of course not. The train had left the station, Mike.
And I had two of them there.
Do you don't remember the brand or anything of this rye?
I don't remember whether at the end of this evening, I didn't remember whether I was a man or a woman.
Oh no! Well, you should have talked to the bartender.
Tough choices.
Hey. And after finishing the second one and determining that I didn't care for it,
yes,
I said, "Well, I might as well switch to an IPA."
No,
you might as well.
And I don't remember. I think I could have had one. I could have had three IPAs. When I woke up the next morning in the kitchen, I walked in and Paul was in there and he said,
"You did not wake up in the kitchen. You woke up."
No,
and
no,
went to the kitchen.
I went to bed. Okay. And he said, "I haven't felt like this since college." it was not a good way to be, and not, you know, there was more crap to deal with, and
yes,
you know, but the, you know, you kind of, everybody was giving everybody else a free pass, but you know, I wouldn't mind visiting the Whistle Pig with one, maybe two at some point, but
yeah.
I'm here to say that if I am going to continue to engage in alcoholic beverage consumption, I need to dramatically modify what I do.
May I offer this from one fellow inebriant to another? The Whistle Pig was not the problem. The problem was what preceded a little bit, but what followed it. If you had stopped after two Whistle Pigs, you would have been fine. But that the thing is that the worst cheap liquor you can buy is cheap rye. Cheap rye is horrible. Good rye is the best, but cheap rye is worse than cheap bourbon or cheap rum or anything. And the fact that they've added sugar to it and you changed your alcohol percentages throughout
when
the night.
The only memory I have of that night is when I was in this last bar and I was going to take a leak and I'm standing there and this is Drunk Mike. You guys will totally relate to this.
Yes.
Drunk Mike is processing the fact that I'm going to go outside after I take this leak. I'm going to walk out of the bar. And I'm going to raise a glass and say to Mary Elizabeth O'Meara, my mom. And Kathy had left early and left me and Paul.
Left you and Paul, of course.
And Kathy said, "You didn't do that, did you?" I said, "No, I knew you lived in the neighborhood." I knew you lived in the neighborhood.
But you were full of good intentions.
Oh yeah, it was mellow. It was truly a love fest the whole time. I mean, this you know, it's true what they say. By the way, if you go through any losing a relative or anything, a lot of times it brings the family close together. Sometimes it can do the opposite. I know that, but no, it was kind of a love fest. And I did not need that hangover. I did not need that hang. That hangover lasted well into Sunday night when I was on the plane flying back. Ooh. And
flying hungover is no good.
The worst. By the way, the guy. I want to say thank you to the guy on the Embraer 1900. I think that's what it's called, the small jet. And I got the I popped for the $6,000 for the 6 inches of extra leg room. You know, so thank you, JetBlue. I appreciate that. And it's nice when a skinny guy widens his arms out and turns his body proportions into the size of Rofo, the late Rob Ford. And
he's still with us.
Yeah, he's still with us. Yes, by the way, people, that's the mayor of Toronto that died of cancer.
Right.
Our Rofo, to the best of our knowledge, at last update, very much alive.
Yeah, 20, and 25 years old.
Yeah, and suffering, Mike, only not from death, but a broken heart.
So this semi-polite douchebag, who I exchanged comments with at the beginning, but then it's two seats. They're two and twos on these jets.
Right.
And he took almost the entire armrest. Didn't take off his thick, oversized leather jacket, and kind
move.
Of crowded me out the whole time, douche. And at the end, I was reaching for my cell phone, which I had put in my pocket on the trip back to the back of the plane, and I did the left-hand pivot. Yeah, I caught the arm and knocked it off the armrest. Not to steal the armrest, just to let him know I didn't like it. And I'm like, "Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. But he made himself wider, and he sat for the entire duration of the flight, very comfortable, like it was his Barca lounger, ignoring the fact that he has a 280-pound man next to him who wants some goddamn space because his mother just died.
Right, maybe he was scared of you and was doing the thing that they say in, like, Boy's Life. If you encounter a bear, make yourself look as big as possible.
Yeah, well, I could have been petty, but I wasn't. I chose to go to the back of the plane and step into the men's room to fart. Thank you. Long flight, 3.5 hours, boys. Had to do it at some point. We'll take a break. When we come back, it's news you may not need on the Mike O'Bara Show with a special someone mentioned.
Hey!
We'll be right back.
Hello? Hello, it's me, Pedro. I don't have much to say, but I wanted to tell you that while I ride my bike to school, I like to listen to the Cake and Cookie Show with Rob and Katie. They're really good. I was looking for a podcast about building cakes or something, and it wasn't until a few episodes in that I realized that Cake and Cookies wasn't about cake or cookies. But I still like Rob and Katie, so I still listen. You can find them on iTunes or on the Mike O'Mara Show app. I'm feeling really hot. I'm going to go home and lie down.
Cake and Cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com. Let's face facts. Your company's only as good as the people you hire. Hire that man. Hiring the best people isn't easy, and you can bet there are other companies out there that are trying to get the people you want. It's a competitive world out there, people, and you got to compete, and you got to do the right thing. That's why for you, you need ZipRecruiter.com. One single job posting, not going to find the quality candidates you need. If you're already short-staffed, you don't have the time to deal with it. It's a hassle. ZipRecruiter.com will take the hassle out of it. A lot of people have said it takes the painful process and makes it easy. You get the best candidates from over 6 million resumes. That's 6 million, just one post, and within 24 hours, watch your candidates appear in ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. It's that easy. Real ZipRecruiter clients love this. It's been used by over 400,000 businesses, and you can try it right now. Absolutely free. Getting the right people for your company is so very important. Try ZipRecruiter right now. Get the perfect candidate before they go to somebody else. You don't want that to happen. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS and get started. Try it for free right now at ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS, and we thank you.
News.
This news is specifically for Carrie Spiewak.
A great lady. A great lady.
Carrie, your DVR just got a little bit busier.
Oh.
People Magazine says Sarah Palin has signed a production deal.
Oh, no.
To star in a courtroom reality show like Judge Judy.
Hey. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Duh.
Oh, boy. This Carrie will be all over this. This will be
apparently,
fun.
Apparently, she'd be the judge, even though, like every other TV judge, she doesn't have a law degree.
No.
Yeah, and Judge Judy is a bazillionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She got exactly. All the money.
If this works, she's just going to get paid.
Yep.
I know. It's still in the very early stages. She hasn't filmed a pilot. No networks picked it up. But theoretically, it's on track to debut sometime next year. She hasn't commented. She does anything, doesn't she? I mean, yeah, she's making money, but she does anything. Yeah. Oh, I'd love to know what it's going to be called.
Can't wait to cash the check then.
That'll be fun then, okay?
In fairness, now some news for Rob. Linda Thompson.
Yeah.
Was married to Bruce Jenner from 1981 to 1985, but before that, she dated Elvis Presley.
Hey. Yeah, man, she was one of the later ladies.
Hey. She's got a book coming out in August. It's called A Little Thing Called Life. Elvis would like that title.
Sounds like he named it.
Well, apparently, in the book, she says that Elvis was taken by Bruce's looks. Bruce Jenner's
looks.
Oh, no. Hey! A source says, Linda and Elvis. Elvis Presley has continued to give after his death like no celebrity
really?
In the history of celebrities.
It's sort of magical.
A source says Linda and Elvis were in bed together watching Bruce compete in the 1976 Olympics, and the king said, quote, damn if that guy isn't handsome. I'm not gay, but damn, he's good looking.
Oh.
That's what Elvis said.
Nice.
I love that. In case you didn't know, Maria Bello.
Yes.
I'm sorry, not Maria. Maria Bello. I like Maria Bello. She was in the Viggo Mortensen movie, you know, about the hitman that tries to get away. She was also in The Cooler, I believe.
Yeah, that's where I know her
with William H. Macy.
Good
she
looking
was
lady.
So hot. Well, apparently Maria Bello goes both ways in the BR. Until recently, she was dating a woman named Claire Munn, M-U-N-N. I wonder any relation to Olivia. I don't know. I just put this story in here because I did. That relationship has ended, and now she's switch-hitting. She has a boyfriend named Elijah Allen Blitz. He's 29, and Maria is 48. Before Munn, Maria was in a long-term relationship with a TV exec named Dan McDermott. They produced a son who's 15 now. The only reason I put that in my news you may not need is because I think Maria Bello is a hottie. That's it. That's all there
is
to
it. I want you to take a look at Bruce Jenner.
Man, I'm not gay, but damn. Damn, look at that. Look at that Bruce Jenner. Man,
decathlon, Jack.
Hey, Red, give me one of them. Give me one of them Wheaties boxes with Bruce Jenner on
the cover. Buy them all. Go to the grocery store and buy them all and put them in the grocery.
Oh man, buy them all up. Hey, there he. Hey, Linda, he's on the TV again. Man, damn, he's good looking.
Wake up and feed me a bowl of Wheaties.
Well, we've seen stories like this before. Rumor has it Mariah Carey doesn't want to perform her old hits because she can't. Because she can't hold that. I'm like, I don't think
Mariah Carey flies, she goes to the bathroom. I think she stays right in her seat in first class.
Well, it says she can't hit the high notes anymore, so she doesn't want to do them. She just kicked off a tour in Europe, and her set list doesn't include one of her most popular songs, Vision of Love.
Oh.
An insider says, quote, she can't sing or hit the high notes, and she can't lip sync the song either. The way she tries to match her horse warbling to the pre-recorded tracks, it looks like the bad dubbing in an old Japanese movie. Apparently, when she does sing, she reverts to a whispery voice. That's sort of masks the fact that she struggles to hit the notes.
You know, Mike, I don't think her voice is any lower than it's ever been. She can still hit the high notes. I have tape of her from Vegas recently. Can I play it
okay.
for you?
Okay. Yeah, I was so hoping you would have this because this is
here she is.
Well down.
Mariah Carey, ladies
Sounds
and gentlemen.
The same.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love
Look
it.
At Bruce Jenner.
There is some floating around. Rob, there is something out there, so if it's good, I don't know if you have you screened it yet?
It was not good because it's
not
like
good to hear.
Cell phone audio. Yeah. I'll find something though. Yeah.
A new study out of Ohio State University found that blondes aren't dumber than people with other hair colors. How about that? That's a huge revelation, isn't it?
I don't know about that.
Is the stigma that blondes are dumb still out there?
Well, I mean, it's the jokes, you know. It's all the blonde jokes that people have had for years.
I haven't heard a blonde joke in like 20 years, I feel.
Uh-huh. Well, then.
What does a blonde say after sex?
What?
You guys all play for the same team? Anyway, sorry. Sorry, I'm
sorry,
so
girls.
Very, very,
How can
very
you tell
sorry,
when a blonde is using your computer?
How?
The whiteout on the screen.
that's where the blonde jokes went. These guys.
Thank you. Yeah, we have them.
Yeah,
they're not great like Oscar's jokes.
Had them in our back pocket.
Always ready to go. They have more fun, too.
Let me see. Well, it says here they might be smarter, slightly smarter.
Smarter?
The study had women with blonde, black, brown, and red hair take IQ tests, and it only tested white women to take any out any possible ethnic or racial factors.
All right.
Blonde women had an average IQ of 103.2. Brown-haired women averaged 102.7. Red-haired women averaged 101.2. And black-haired women averaged 100.5. The researchers say those scores are too close to be statistically significant, but, quote, while we don't think you can say with certainty that blondes are smarter than others, you can definitely say they aren't any dumber.
That's true.
But do they have more fun?
That's right, baby.
Of course they do. Of course that's exactly what they do. All right, now a little something-something for you boys. Yeah. Only someone young whose body parts haven't started oddly sagging and flopping would be cocky enough to try this move. 24-year-old Eric McCary. I'm sorry, I got the first name right. Edric McCary.
Oh, it's better that way.
He's Edric is 24 years old. He's from Florida. Bradenton, to be specific.
Oh, that's a good part.
He was pulled over last week, and one of the cops recognized him from an active warrant. They had him get out of his car, and when he did, they noticed that Edric was reaching down the front of his pants and kind of fumbling around in there. When they searched him, they found what he was doing. He was hiding his small cocaine stash under his scrotum.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Yeah. So anyway, that's nasty.
yeah, it is.
That's what Edric was doing. He was charged with possession of cocaine with intent to sell. And of course, this story would have been much funnier if the crime had taken place in Sacramento. Thank you. Thank you, here, Holly. We'll take a break and come back to the audio vault. And Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Listen to Americast and get caught up on all the shows of more broadcasting, like this clip from the Rob and Joe Show.
We are experiencing audio difficulties from our audio.
Marcus. How's Marcus doing? I haven't talked to Marcus in a long time.
He posted a new show this week. Actually,
he did.
And it was a lovely tribute, actually, to the fact that our show is so intimate. He played a great story from an old episode where you're talking about your mom. It's a great clip. It's very,
well, I'm
very
glad
nice.
He's back. I mean, I've heard, you know, you hear things about Marcus once in a while, and yeah. I just want to, you know, I see pictures of Paul and Dean. I want to know what he's up to. You know what I mean? It's like all I've seen in the last year is a picture of Paul and Dean and like a picture of a muffin.
Yeah, but to be honest, Mike, he did reveal on a previous episode he did bone Paul and Dean, so that's good.
Hey. Oh, wonderful. That must be highly entertaining. Welcome back to the show. How would you like a free upgrade for your smartphone? No strings attached. It's very, very easy. All you have to do is download the TMOS app and fall in love with your smartphone all over again. The TMOS app lets you listen to all the shows on the More Network with ease. No RSS feeds or subscriptions to worry about. It's the easiest way to get the bonus show. Plus, you can use it to contact us, and it even links you directly to our Amazon portal. How easy is that? Speaking of easy, downloading it's a snap. Just go to the App Store and type in TMOS, then hit search. Whether you're iOS or Android, the easiest way to listen to the Mike O'Mara Show is with our app. Stay tuned. 2016 has some big things in store. One of these days, Oscar's going to come on here and tell you something very special. We're really excited about it.
Huge.
So make sure you download the TMOS app today and improve your TMOS experience and do it instantly. Let's open up the audio vault for Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016. Rob Spiewak.
It's a great era for pornography. It truly is. It's available.
Great day for pornography.
I mean, it's available on your computer, on your smartphone.
I think we know where to find it. Yes.
Yeah, but here's the deal. If you go back when they had to market it, it was a different era.
That was, a different
and
era.
I just have a small clip here from an old, do you know that porn movies used to have trailers?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And sure. So this trailer is one, and I think the voice, it might be Paul Frees, the guy who did voices on Bullwinkle and many of the Christmas specials. Oh. I can't quite make it out, but he definitely.
Hey, a paycheck's a paycheck, right?
He's also the voice of every Disney ride. So that makes it a little weird, but here he is. I think he's sort of narrow casting on this, just a piece of this trailer.
Sheer patties. They have the feel of Corinthian silk. God. And what are they? A very private undergarment known as panties.
All right, enough.
Sheer panties.
All right, stop
Jesus.
It. Stop it. What's wrong with
That's
you?
All I have.
What is wrong with
I mean, he could have played
horrible.
This any day.
I know.
But the one day we've got Lou and Rachel in studio.
That is
how
so
uncomfortable
inappropriate.
Am I right now?
Really, I'm totally. And I'm down here and I'm uncomfortable. Play it again one more time.
Right. By the way, Mike, Sheer Panties still playing at the Kennedy Center on the rooftop. Okay, oh, I'm sorry. That's Sheer Madness. Okay, now in its 29th year.
All right, here we go.
Sheer Panties. They have the feel of Corinthian silk. And what are they?
What are they?
A very private undergarment known as panties. Sheer panties.
Okay,
you
thank
think
you.
He got this copy and said, well, they're paying scale. Why not?
I've got to do this and the Haunted Mansion.
God,
all right.
We are funny. Let us
change the topic, if possible. Florida Man has been an ongoing character on our show,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Let us talk, Mike, about a man who is challenging the title of Florida Man as California Man, because this took place in California.
Okay.
His name is Hiroshi Motohashi, and he went into a sushi restaurant with a snake,
and
he got into a fight with people that said, you shouldn't bring a snake into a restaurant. So to get back, he threw a much larger snake into the restaurant.
Oh, no.
A 13-foot python.
I'd be pissed if that happened.
So
I'd track the guy down.
California policeman to discuss what happened when he threw a huge snake into a sushi restaurant, because That'll show him.
Probably one of the weirdest calls that I've ever heard us respond to. A person came in, he was upset, had an argument with another patron, and was asked to leave the restaurant, left the restaurant, and came back with about a 13-foot python snake, put it into the middle of the restaurant, and basically walked out, scaring everybody inside. He was mad, and he felt that was the only way he could get even. We charged him with criminal threats because of using the snake as a weapon and threatening the patrons.
Cops.
Somebody could have been injured by that snake, fleeing the restaurant, or maybe even trying to approach the snake and the snake grabbing onto them.
And the guy who did
grabbing
this,
onto them. Thank you for that detailed assessment, officer. We truly appreciate
it.
We
asked the snake handler, Hiroshi Motohashi, what he was thinking, and he said,
"Sheer patties. They have the feel of Corinthian silk."
Okay, thank you.
Is Corinthian silk even a thing? I'm not sure.
I thought it was leather. I thought it was Corinthian leather. That's what I always thought. Hey, do you guys have the... is this a Florida thing only? Do you have the people that dress up as the Statue of Liberty for the tax doing service?
Yeah, all across the country.
Sometimes they're like, they spin signs too. Yeah.
They're hired them all over Florida. It's truly
Manassas is big with them now.
Yeah, shocker.
Yeah, you know Manassas is
where Mike O'Mara lives. They have to have the people standing on the street with the Statue of Liberty uniform.
Sometimes in Manassas they're not even being paid. They're just dressed up.
Yeah. I think I'm going to find that uniform and like do a whole show wearing it.
True patriots, Mike. I think
maybe on tax day. Maybe on tax day. I'll wear that. Maybe we can get them as a client. That'd be fun.
Hey, you know what? I felt the uniform. It smells like fine Corinthian silk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As you mentioned earlier, not our Rob Ford, but Mayor Rob Ford passed away. Amazingly, not due to his drug and alcohol use. And it was sad. He was much younger than I thought.
Isn't that sad that that guy was literally job one with the news when he was being an a-hole?
Yeah.
But when he gets the big casino and he's basically dying... not basically dying, Mike. He's dying.
He's dying.
You know, no one knew that until he actually bought the farm.
And younger than I thought he was. I thought he was in his 50s. He was in his mid-40s.
Lived some hard years.
But remember, in 2013 when he admitted that he did smoke crack.
Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine.
When,
but
sir?
No, do I? Am I an addict? No.
When have you
Have I tried it? Probably in one of my drunken stupors, probably approximately about a year ago.
Vote Rob Ford.
Yep.
And also, this is my favorite
tough
Rob
life
Ford
for
moment.
That dude.
Yeah,
man. I mean, it's really a tough life. You live that hard and then you go that quick. That's a that's at the end of the story for him.
Bright and fast.
He burned like magnesium, Mike.
I'm not sure he'll leave a beautiful corpse though. like James Dean said, you know.
Yeah, being his pallbearer, that's tough work right there.
Yeah, that's because he looked like I saw a picture of him in the hospital. I have no idea, you know, what he looked like at the end, but.
Right.
Yeah, well, anyway.
He was trying to eat the cancer, Mike.
It was a symbiotic
relationship.
You know what? You play that tape again. Play your tape that he hated.
Cheer patties.
Thank
that's
you.
Enough,
okay.
Thank you. Let us remember another great moment in Rob Ford history when he was accused of being sexually aggressive towards one of his coworkers, and he denied those allegations.
Oh, and the last thing was Olivia Gondak. It says that I wanted to eat her. I've never said that in my life to her. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home.
More than enough to eat at home.
Yeah. A series of life's miscues.
Yes, you know what? Many missteps.
Yes, many missteps in that man's career.
Let us close with something from the Kimmel Show last night. This is just so brilliant. So many people say that Donald Trump is a hate monger. He hates things. He inspires hate in people. I disagree because apparently he loves everything.
I love this country.
I love the country.
I love the old days.
I love free trade.
I love my company.
I love building buildings.
I love what I'm doing.
I love hopping around.
I love the way they twist and turn.
I love NASCAR.
I love your potatoes.
We love people that faint.
I love that sign.
I love to bring my people up.
I love helping people.
I love Howie Kurtz.
I love Sheriff Joe.
I love my father.
I love my kids.
I love these people.
I love tough people.
I love my protesters.
He loves everything, but there's one thing he loves more than anything else.
Sheer patties. They have the feel of Corinthian silk.
Oh, the best silk there is. That's your magic audio ball. Welcome back, Mike. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Good to be back. Thanks again to all the people that reached out. I truly love you all for doing that, and it really made me feel better during a very difficult time. That's it. Another Mike O'Mara Show has come and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the Mike O'Mara Show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the mailbag, it's Rob with two B's
tomorrow
at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Don't forget to take our survey. Just click the survey banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com. We rely on your word of mouth. Spread the word about TMOS. Make sure they get it, too. Do what I do. When the HVAC guys were here yesterday, I handed them like 40 Vistaprint business cards, and now they're all going to be listening to the show.
Cool.
That's what I want you to do. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody. Bye-bye.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.